next on I Never Read Radio, we have a contribution by Atelier Marisol. We're going to hear three short abstracts from pieces. First, we're going to listen to Beast 1, Beast 2 from Partir, which is a poetic reading by Jean-Luc Baron, text and voice, with Marisol Baron, piano, from 1997. Jean-Luc Baron is a French poet and artist. His daughter Marisol Baron plays the piano during his public readings and also edits artists' books, which is why she's participating here at the I Never Read Art Book Fair. And we are going to hear a 10-minute abstract from the CD Partir, they made together 20 years ago in Paris.
Et le jour me lève, et privé de jour, je ne me serai jamais levé. Et le jour me lève, et le jour me lève et me soulève. Le soleil m'équilibre sur deux membres. Le feu me redresse au-dessus de la terre. Le feu me redresse au-dessus de la terre. Et sans la lumière, je tomberai en avant sur les mains. Je m'écroulerai contre terre. Je m'écroulerai contre terre. Et le jour me lève, et privé de jour, je ne me serai jamais levé. Et le jour me lève, et le jour me lève et me soulève, mais la nuit me courbe vers la terre. Je ne tiens plus sur le sol, je rampe sous le ciel, je rampe sous le ciel. Et l'aube a des mains qui me tirent et me retiennent. Et l'aube a des mains qui me prennent et me lèvent, qui me poussent et m'entraînent à travers elles. Et le jour tend un pont entre moi et ce que je vois, mais la nuit creuse un trou entre moi et ce que je ne vois pas. Et le jour, je marche sur des ponts, et la nuit, je rampe dans des trous. Et le jour, je marche sur des ponts, et la nuit, je rampe dans des trous. Et le jour me lève, et privé de jour, je ne me serai jamais levé. Et je me suis redressé de mes yeux qui se sont ouverts, du jour qui a surgi, du jour qui a surgi. Et je me courbe de mes yeux qui se ferment, de la nuit qui surgit, de la nuit qui surgit. Et je marche du jour et de mes yeux ouverts, et je rampe de la nuit et de mes yeux fermés. Et le jour me lève, et mes paupières et mes jambes. Et la nuit tombe, et mes paupières et mes mains. Et je vous suis, étoile, soleil. Et je vous suis, étoile, soleil. Et le jour me lève, et le jour me lève et me soulève. Mais sans ce que je vois, je n'aurai pas de jambes. Comme sans ce que je ne vois pas, je n'aurai pas de mains. Et la terre m'a donné des jambes et le reste de l'univers des mains. Et la terre m'a donné des jambes et le reste de l'univers des mains. Et si je ne vois pas l'invisible, je le touche. Comme je ne touche pas le visible, je le vois. Et devant ce que je vois, je marche, et devant ce que je ne vois pas, je rampe. Et le visible me trace des chemins en dehors, l'invisible des chemins en dedans, des chemins en dedans. Et la nuit, il y a des ponts entre moi et toutes les étoiles, des trous entre moi et tous ces visages. Et le jour me lève, et privé de jour, je ne me serai jamais levé. Et le jour me lève, et le jour me lève et me soulève. Et le jour, je marche sur un pont qui est la terre, et je rampe dans un trou qui est le ciel. Et la nuit, je rampe dans un trou qui est la terre, et je marche sur un pont qui est le ciel. Et tantôt, la terre est un pont sur lequel je marche, tantôt un trou dans lequel je rampe, et tantôt le ciel est un trou dans lequel je rampe, tantôt un pont sur lequel je marche, tantôt un pont sur lequel je marche. Et du côté où il fait nuit, il y a des milliers d'yeux qui rampent dans des trous de terre et qui marchent sur des ponts de ciel. Et du côté où il fait jour, il y a des milliers d'yeux qui marchent sur des ponts de terre et qui rampent dans des trous de ciel. Et le jour me lève, et le jour me lève et me soulève. Le feu me redresse au-dessus de la terre. Je brûle par les yeux, je brûle par les yeux. Je me projette dans le soleil. Je me projette dans le soleil. Je me projette dans le soleil.
Okay, that was the first short abstract that we heard from the contribution by Atelier Marisol. We're going to listen to the second one now. It's by Alain Weinstein, named Virgil Novarina, Surpris par la Nuit. After studying mathematics and physics, Virgil Novarina devoted himself to the artistic exploration of his own sleep through writings and drawings, and the sleep of others through photographs and videos. Since 2006, the very act of sleeping has become an integral part of his work. Through the Ensemble series of performances, during which he sleeps publicly in shop windows, galleries, or museums. And we're going to hear a 10-minute interview about his night writings and drawings.
Nous pensons parce que la terre tourne, parce que la terre tourne, tourne, tourne. Et nous pensons parce que la terre tourne, parce que la terre tourne, 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 et qu'elle tourne non seulement autour du feu, mais aussi sur elle-même. Et que ces tours sans fin ont fini par tracer des sillons dans le vide sur lesquels son passage incessant a fini par produire un bruit si continu que nous ne l'entendons plus. Un bruit si continu que nous ne l'entendons plus. Un bruit si continu que nous l'entendons dans notre tête comme un chant sans fin. Et ce chant est si continu en nous que nous ne bougeons plus que pour le danser. Que nous ne bougeons plus que pour le danser. Et nous pensons parce que la terre tourne, parce que la terre tourne, 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 et que la pensée est une musique que la lumière et l'obscurité sont venues nous faire entendre, et que cette musique est si continue que nous ne l'entendons plus, que nous ne l'entendons plus. Que comme un silence, que nous ne l'entendons plus que comme un silence, et que nous ne pensons pas, mais que nous jouons d'un instrument qui s'appelle la terre, qui s'appelle la terre, et que nous ne pouvons pas nous arrêter d'en jouer, parce qu'en jouer, c'est simplement tourner avec elle, tourner avec elle. Pensons parce que la terre tourne, parce que la terre tourne, 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 et que la pensée n'est jamais que les sons que chacun tire du mouvement de la terre, car le mouvement de la terre, c'est la pensée, et que c'est danser que penser. Et le monde danse, nous dansons au son du globe, entraînés par le mouvement du globe sur lui-même et tout autour du feu. Et la terre tourne, mais ses tours sont les sillons de notre pensée. Et la pensée est inaudible autour de nous, parce qu'elle est là depuis toujours, et qu'elle est cette musique incessante qui est devenue le silence qu'on entendrait si on pouvait quitter la terre et son soleil, et de loin avoir encore une oreille. Et de loin avoir encore une oreille. Et d'infiniment loin, on entendrait penser le monde. Et d'infiniment loin, on entendrait penser le monde. Et d'infiniment loin, on entendrait penser le monde.
That was Alan Weinstein in an interview. The last abstract we have prepared from Atelier Marisol Parent is called Inner Telescope, a space artwork by Eduardo Catch. Created by the artist to exist in weightlessness and to be made on board the International Space Station by French astronaut Thomas Pesquet. The work Inner Telescope lays the foundation for a new form of art and poetry. Freed from the constraints of gravity. The film Inner Telescope is space artwork by Eduardo Catch by Virgil Novarina takes us on an artistic and scientific journey from the conception of the work in Eduardo Catch's studio in Chicago to its realization in orbit by Thomas Pesquet 400 kilometers from Earth during the Proxima mission of the European Space Agency. We will hear, as I said, a 10-minute abstract of the interview in Kach's studio about this space artwork. Oh, and by the way, Valentin, this goes out to you.
Space poetry is part of a longer exploration of the outer limits of poetic creation. In 1982, I created my first digital poem, and I developed throughout the 90s digital poetry. In 1983, I created my first holographic poem, Holopoet. In the beginning of the 21st century, I started what I called biopoetry. And I have also created aroma poetry in 2011. These are poems to be read with the nose because they are aromatic. The premise is this. If we look back in history, there is no social writing system that writes from bottom to top. Every form of writing, no matter if we're talking about English, French, any other Romance language that goes from left to right, or take Hebrew, for example, that goes from right to left, and Arabic, or if you look at ideographic systems, Japanese, Chinese, that are vertical, but they go from top to bottom. So whether you go from left to right, right to left, or whether it's vertical, it always goes down. Language, written language, is gravitropic. That is, it follows our perception and the action of gravity upon our perception. So the question then becomes, for a poet, for an artist, if we do not have to follow this limit, this constraint, this rule, if we are finally free from the limits of gravity, what new kinds of art, what new forms of writing would emerge. Space poetry is not only a vision of that, but also its realization. I lived in Paris from 2006 to 2007. And when I lived there, I started to work with the French Space Agency on a concept, on a project to develop space poetry. And initially, one of the possibilities was parabolic flight. We looked into that. I drafted some concepts, preliminary concepts. And the conversation was evolving slowly because space is a complex subject, involves many nations, involves the Russians to get through Soyuz to the space station, NASA, the European Union. It's a complex affair. And, you know, I sketched things, etc. But in 2009 was an important date because Thomas Pesquet, who is the current French astronaut, was selected by the European Space Agency to be part of this program. And the conversation then around 2009 started to shift slowly in the direction of that possibility. Thomas' mission is entitled Proxima. And in the context of his Proxima mission, there are many different events, scientific research and all kinds of things that he has to carry out. Space poetry is part of Proxima. And the project envisions the realization of this artwork, which is at the same time a poem, by Thomas in conditions of zero gravity. It's also a performance because he's gonna fly in the direction of the American module to get scissors, he's gonna fly through the European module to get paper, and then he will assemble it and it will fly with the work to the cupola where he will present the work, having the Earth in the back. So the whole event is performative, and also in the sense that the moment he executes, the moment he makes the work, he ceases to be the producer and he becomes the observer, the reader. So his role changes automatically in the context of the work. So the performance has all these elements, this performance for one astronaut, one pair of scissors, and two sheets of paper implies also the fact that from one end to the other, he shifts his role. And he shifts again because he's also documenting everything. So he occupies multiple subject positions in the context of this work. The artwork that Thomas will make in the space station on Earth doesn't make any sense because it's made of paper and it's fragile, its form changes, but in the conditions of zero gravity inside the International Space Station, the isotropic forces of zero gravity hold it in space as a firm object. And there, we will be able to experience this inner telescope, this object that spells the word moi, M-O-I, from one perspective, and from another perspective creates this image of a human being with the umbilical cord cut, head, arms, and legs floating in space. So symbolically is the image of us, humanity, free from the constraints of gravity from our home planet, the Earth. Here's the eyepiece that allows us to contemplate ourselves. We leave our planet and we see ourselves in an entirely new light. This is an artwork that was conceived for and realized in zero gravity. So for you to really, truly experience inner telescope directly, as you would go to a museum and see a painting directly or a sculpture directly, you yourself have to be in outer space. That's the only way that you can actually experience inner telescope in the way that it was conceived. However, because this has been a 10-year process, and every phase of the work was lived intensely because it implied research and development, there are works that mark every phase. So for example, from 2014. I have drawings. I have photographs of my first ground-based research. And then in 2015, when I finally met Thomas for the first time, I started to make drawings that visualized the interaction between a human and the work in space. And I made these drawings initially for the dossier that I was working on with the European, with the French Space Agency. And then in 2016, when Thomas actually flew, I created an artist book to celebrate the flight. And the artist book visualizes the artwork inside the cupola. The artist book visualizes humans interacting with the artwork. There are many different aspects, not to mention the fact that it has the actual space poetry patch embroidered on the cover of the book itself. So the idea is to exhibit all these different works that were made in the course of research and production of Inner Telescope, and in a sense, share the story of this adventure, because after all, we're talking about 10 years of exploration, discussion, collaboration, investigation, drawings, and all kinds of multiple aspects that make up Inner Telescope. One important aspect of this work that it brings a cultural dimension to a space mission, and that is significant in numerous ways, because in the future, I firmly believe that outer space will be more accessible to civilians. We can easily imagine that eventually there will be a hotel in orbit, and possibly eventually a base on the moon before we venture out in the direction of Mars. So little by little, we will start to move more people outside of the Earth, not exclusively for scientific or military purposes. So when humans begin to go to outer space more regularly, no doubt the first 24 hours will be amazing, the first 48 hours will be amazing, but then we will begin to ask ourselves, okay, well, I'm floating, it's amazing, the Earth is there, it brings all kinds of emotions, but it's lunchtime, and what can we cook here that we cannot cook on Earth? It's late in the day, what if we have a performance, a theatrical performance, what kind of play can we have here that we cannot have on Earth? Along the same lines, what kind of art can we have in space, what kind of poetry can we have in space that is not something that we brought from Earth? What kind of new space culture that goes beyond the specificity of gastronomy or theater or poetry or art or any other cultural form, what other new space culture can we develop that goes with the sense of adventure and invention and discovery that is so characteristic of humans? So my space poetry work, Inner Telescope, participates, takes a solid first step in the development of a larger space culture of the future.